This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, so we'll come round then, and we're going to get questions from everybody here. Feel free just to fire away to James and to Coley. And I'll walk round, we'll get as many done as we can, and then we can start here with you, Baldy. Have you got a question? Yeah, skinhead.
Obviously, like I said, finishing at West Ham and everything else, do you feel that you're a little bit begrudged that you weren't given a proper send-off at the end by the fans?
I get asked it all the time. Obviously, I was here, I think it was 12 years in the end. It was more for me. I know the testimony would be lovely. The way it ended for me, I didn't get a chance to say that West Ham's a massive part of my life. Everything, you know, I've got has come from West Ham. So I wanted a bit more time to say thank you, basically, and to see people. After that Everton game, I just pretty much picked my boots up and didn't go back. Didn't go back to the training ground, and I struggled with it for a long time because, like I said, I gave everything for this club. Every game I played, I tried my hardest, and like I said, I loved every minute of it. But that last sort of couple of months, it will always be a bit bitter for me for whatever. Not that I'm a person that needs that and the testimony and all that. I just felt for me, I didn't see people that I really needed to thank and sort of speak to people. So yeah, it's. I don't think testimonials are done anymore, really. I know Nob's got one, but like Winston Reid's due one as well. Great servant for the club, sort of left and has not really been spoken about since. So yeah, it's one of them things, it's football. And Coley will tell you the same. When you're a footballer, as soon as you're done, unfortunately you're done, you're just cast aside and away you go.
Okay, Skinner, thanks.
Yeah, no, I get it all the time. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mark, I get it all the time. Thank you.
James?
Yeah.
Yeah.
James, if you don't mind, I am going to cut in because it's a subject that I am really very interested in and always have been. If you could share, perhaps both of you maybe, with everybody that's here today. When you're a footballer and you've played that last game and your boots, as you said, you didn't get the chance to go back to the training ground, and then you said a minute ago that you struggled with it all. How and what do you mean by that?
I think footballers in general struggle when you're finished, because Coley would say the same. I left school at 15 and I was told where to be, what to do, what to wear, what to eat, what not to eat, what to do for 20 years. And I think as soon as you're finished, Coley will say the same. When you're a footballer, you're living in a bubble. You ain't living in the fucking real world. I don't care what anyone says. And as soon as it's done, you're sort of left. I've gone on a bit of a rant here. You're sort of left to your own devices to get on with it. And it's a mad time, especially like obviously being at a club that I loved for so long and sort of left in a bit of a funny way. You know, I felt the way the club handled it wasn't great. I'd struggled with it. There's no doubt about it. As in, I didn't come back to West Ham, didn't go to a game for like 2 years. It's a mad old time. And that's just not me saying it. People who retired from lower levels, people who retired for injury. When you're told where to be, you got to wake up every day being training. When that is not taken away from me or you finish, it's a fucking mad time. It's a mad time. And no, I think that's why boys struggle.
I've got to say the same thing. Like when you're regimented, didn't you? So you've got to be here at this time, You wake up in the morning, even if you have a night out, you know you've got to get into training the next day. So everything goes back to normal. When you're retired and then you're left to your own devices and you don't have any structure, your whole world becomes wobbly. And you don't have any discipline. And that discipline that we're used to, it becomes a problem because we don't have it anymore. We don't have anyone telling us anything. We don't have any instructions. And everybody, the whole world thinks you've got it sussed because you've earned so much money. But yeah, the money is great, don't get me wrong, but we're like soldiers. We get commanded to do certain things, and when that gets taken away from you and then you're left to your own devices, it's a hard thing to get your head around.
Like, you'd be amazed, like some footballers had finished. Mad Dog, you must have seen it with when you've been manager. I remember, like, boys I wouldn't know how to pay a fucking bill or something like that. Do you know, it sounds fucking mental.
Yeah, because we've been fresh out of school since 14 years old.
You're in that bubble for so long. I remember Cheku Coyote coming in once. Didn't realise he had to pay the fucking congestion charge.
Oh, did you hear about my story?
He come in to Tim, who used to be our player liaison officer, and went, Tim, he had a stack of congestion charges like that. He lived in fucking London. He had to pay like 22 grand or something like that in congestion charges. It's like, how the fuck is that allowed to happen?
Ginge, what about my story?
Mine was in
the papers, geez. Yeah, so I the congestion charge just came about. And I didn't know what was going on. So I've gone into London and I paid the first time that the congestion charge, 10 quid, I think it was, whatever it was. And then I've gone, yeah, that's me done now. I was going in and out of London every day. Yeah. So the bailiffs come to the training ground because they couldn't find me. The bailiff come to the training ground and says, listen, mate, you owe 8 grand. And I was like, for what? What are you talking about? Goes, congestion charge. I said, what's that? Oh, that London thing. I haven't been in London. I start to bluff. I haven't been in London that much. Then they give me all the facts and figures. And I was like, ooh, yeah, maybe you're right. But yeah, I didn't know how to do that. You know, and just to pay my taxes, all that sort of stuff. Don't know how to do that because you've always got someone doing something for you. So it was a hard transition to be a normal person.
I think going back to that, I was quite lucky though. I lived quite a normal life outside football. That I've always liked a pint, smoking, just living a normal life, but lucky enough to be playing football. So I was quite lucky. I had that sort of, I think the boys who struggle more, football's everything. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I still have really close mates outside football that I spend a lot of time with. So I was quite lucky that way, where I was pretty much a normal lad doing what I wanted, but while playing football.
I kind of can remember and rewind. Last game Saturday, no new contract, out with the boys on a Saturday night, just the end of the season. Then when it came down to pre-season training and going to the training ground, you ain't got a club to go to. There ain't no more games to play. There ain't no more training to do because your career's over, and it's a big void, isn't it? It's a big void.
I resonate with you with that one, but I think I'd done my winding down as such.
Yeah, I
went abroad. I went first. I went Celtic. That didn't quite work out because it was a mess over up there at the time. Scotland, yeah. And when I went, when I did go north, I went north. I done it properly. And then after that, I went to America. So America was really good. I went Sacramento Republic. I had a great time there. And that was I started to have the signs of now I've got to wind down. And it's a perfect way to do it when you've got the sun waking up, going training, and then giving the young boys feedback of how their performances were. So I was winding down in that way. That was a great way to do it. Then I got a phone call from Mark Alessian to go to Indonesia.
How many fucking clubs did you play for?
Yeah. I went to Indonesia afterwards. I went to a club called Bandung. It was, mate.
You fucking
hey, listen, I tell you what, you
Bandung.
Laugh.
Bandung?
Yeah? Bandung, yeah? I tell you what, you laugh, yeah, but mate, there's hooliganism out there. There's West Ham fans out there, yeah. And you lot laugh, yeah, but mate, it was such an experience, and it was a great way to bow out of the game because, and it made me realise how much the Premier League and how much West Ham are followed. And I didn't know that there were fans in Indonesia. I didn't know they loved the West Ham way. They know all about all of this, but they would love to come here one day. One day I'm gonna do a little something for them.
Okay, thanks, Carl. Yeah. Moving on.
Cheers, Martin.
Fucking hell.
Fucking hell, yeah.
This is hard work, isn't it? Come on, mate, you better have a good question.
Maybe it's the right one. My opinion, I've got this right, Coley. I've heard this story once, and it's to do with Tevez and your car. Tevez and your car?
Oh, that one.
I thought it was going to be the nightclub one.
I thought it was going to be the nightclub. Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
You can tell you that
one. We can talk about this, yeah. That didn't happen, mate. That didn't happen. That was, I don't know who made that story up, but they're very creative. But apparently, I've come in and I've seen Tevez for the first time, and then I've seen the burns on his neck. Oh, yeah, yeah, and then I'm eating my breakfast, and I said, listen, what was it again? Something about, listen, put a turtleneck on or something like that. You're putting me off my food. Yeah. Now, anybody that knows me knows I ain't going to say something like that. And definitely the second part, I'm not going to have a out-of-towner coming to put a golf club through my window and him get away with it. You mad? So that is definitely a made-up story. And apparently it was Nobes that was saying it. So that didn't happen. It never happened. But yeah, it's a good story though, isn't it? But it didn't happen. It's a made-up story.
This is a question for James. You all right, mate? Collins?
I've been called James for a while. I feel like I'm in trouble.
In my opinion, you're one of the best centre-backs to play for West Ham ever, right?
Thank you very much.
My question is, who's the best centre-back you ever played with at West Ham?
The best centre-back I played with at West Ham?
Yeah.
I'd say Gabs, obviously. It's got to be Winston, I think. I was lucky enough to play with Winston, and this isn't being big-headed. I think Winston sort of enjoyed playing with me as well, because I was a bit more aggressive than Winston. But I think from the player we saw when we signed, I think he was a right back when we signed Winston, to turn into possibly at the time one of the best centre backs in the league, I think, when he signed the new contract at West Ham. But he was brilliant. Such a good lad as well. Coley knows him really well. Such a good lad off the pitch. But I think he was the player he turned into under Sam, and playing alongside like myself and learning and really wanted to get better, I think it's probably got to be Winston Reid. But lucky, James Tompkins was a great centre-half as well. Mm. So we were blessed at a time where we had three or four of us at the time. Big Angelo came in, who's been an incredible servant to the club and still doing really well. So I think it's, I'd have to say Winston Reid.
I'm well happy about Winston Reid as well, because...
You're not happy with him?
No, I'm happy with him.
Oh.
but because... You know, I'm the one that introduced him to his wife, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it makes me feel like Cupid. So I'm multitasking. I set up, and I'm like Cilla Black. You know what I mean?
Stupid or Cupid?
Cilla Black as well, yeah?
Cilla Black, mate.
I ain't fucking going there on that joke. Fucking hell, fire. Woke me up. Fucking Cilla Black.
That's me, mate.
I ain't said nothing.
I was with Winston last week as well. Great lad. Honestly, he still loves the club as well. And like I said, he was here 11 years himself and sort of like retired.
How about we all have set up a testimonial for all of us? One game.
I'll let you do that. You sort that out.
Carlton said earlier about the need to try hard playing for West Ham, and Ginge replied by saying there were some shit bags that didn't try. So I'd like to know who they were.
Fucking loads of them.
He's been holding that one, hasn't he?
Name names.
What? People who like came in and didn't.
Didn't try a leg.
Fucking hell, how long we got? Top of my head, who would be one? Yeah, do you know, like, we all know, I can't really name, as in, like, I can't think out loud, but you
what
all
about
know
those two Italians?
You all know the two Italians. The sort of player I mean. You can sort of, I can't put names on them because I can't remember, but you know boys who come in and you think they're not trying. There's hundreds, every team's got them, and you just think, do you know what, it's fucking taking the piss. Like, especially for someone like me and Nobes and Coley, who trained hard every day, you'd see certain players come in who wouldn't try a fucking leg. And he used to drive me mad, so I just used to smash the fuck out of him in training.
And trust me, he did. The way they got lifted with
I used to lift them in training because I was a firm believer.
All the time.
You've got to train how you play. Like, I wasn't fortunate enough to be able to turn the tap on and not train hard and play well on a Saturday. I had to train flat out every day. And if someone wasn't trying, they were fucking getting it. End
Definitely.
Off.
I found out the hard way.
Yeah, you did, didn't I? Soon started running about, though, didn't you? Where's he gone?
It's all
Where's
right.
He gone? Got a toilet.
Martin,
where are you, mate?
Hello? You've got the fucking mic in your hand.
I know.
Go on, mate. Go on.
No, I was going to say, who's like the unsung heroes behind the scenes? Obviously, we all hear about like Noble and how good he was with you, you know, joking. But who are the people that, like, if you got dropped or you're injured and that, you could go see, you know, is it the kit man? Was it the physio? You know, them unsung heroes that we as fans don't see, but you see every day.
I think we've been blessed over it. Like, our staff at West Ham have always been great. I've always had a good relationship with them. You know, you've got the kit men. Kit men have fucking unbelievable. I've got a great story about our kit man. Does anyone know kit man Pete? Would anyone know Pete?
Peter Williams.
Pete, yeah. So this is going back a few years. He said he was retiring, basically, and he'd been unbelievable. He's a fucking great lad, to be fair. Still about. So he was retiring at Stoke away, and we had finished quite high in the league, and we were getting half a decent bonus that year, the boys, for finishing in the league. So me and Nobes talked to the boys, right, we'll give a couple of grand each into a pot, give it to Pete to retire. So we sorted all this out, gave it to Pete. I think he got something like fucking 65, 70 grand or something like that. So we went, there you go, Pete.
Cash.
Fucking brilliant. Cash, of course, cash. Cash money. Cash is king. Give it to Pete, thinking, go on, Pete, go off, be on the beach somewhere. So anyway, goes away, summer, come back in pre-season. He's fucking still there. He come back in and just fucking carried on as normal. Fucking 70 grand in the back pocket. Fucking lovely. He said something like, I'm not a kit man anymore. I'm here to do the washing. Fuck off. You've got 70 grand, you can. I think he's still there now.
He's still there now, mate. He's still there now. He's wound down a little bit now. He's wound down.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a younger boy in there, so he does his work for him. But yeah, he took the money, mate.
That's what I was
like. He didn't ask for it, though, did he? He's not going
to
turn it down.
I'll do the fucking same. I should have had a whip wearing my last game.
Yeah, this isn't a West Ham question. This is more a sporting question. Rugby are now doing these smart gum shields to test head injuries. You two have obviously headed a ball, especially in the car, a lot.
What are you trying to say, Guy?
Can you tell that, by the way, he's been talking today?
Where are we going with this,
fucking
mate?
Hell, he's headed the ball too much.
Yeah, well, when he said Scotland's abroad, he has got a fucking problem.
Do you think that the FA and the Premier League should be trying some sort of smart technology to see what is the impact, especially as we're still using heading in training in grassroots from very young ages?
Yeah, I couldn't give a fuck, to be honest. I'd never stop my son heading the ball or my kids heading the ball. I don't know. It's just one of them, innit? If you couldn't head the football, you'd kill football. In my opinion, I get that there is going to be. I'll probably be fucking one of them. I'll sit in a couple of years. I won't have a fucking clue who I am. But I think if you stop heading in football, it fucking kills it. You'll have kids catching the ball and all that. I get it, but
don't you think it's all relative? Because back in the day, I know that heading the ball was a massive thing, part of the game. But the type of balls they were heading back then. Was it pigskin or something like that? Pig bladder or whatever. I don't know what they made of it. I don't know how the
fucking
ball was made.
Fucking hell.
I'm epitomising what I'm trying to say, innit? I'm saying a lot right now, and I've headed the ball a bit too much. So, yeah, we do need to control it.
Well, I retired 5 years ago, and I think I've still got most headed clearances in the Premier League.
Is it?
Yeah. Think stuff. But no, I didn't want to clap for that. I was just saying, if I can't remember stuff, now you know why. You'll have to tell me. You'll see me in a wheelchair, so like fucking gone.
Don't worry, I'll wheel you about. Yeah, no
cheers,
problem.
Man. Thank you.
Nice, good answer.
Yeah, I get it, but I think.
No, you've got to leave the game how it is.
It'd kill the game.
That's the risk you're taking when you're going into a professional sport. It's like if you go into boxing, you run the risk of getting brain damage in the boxing ring. So it's the same with football. If you're going to be a professional footballer, you run the risk of something happening badly, you run the risk of breaking your leg. So you go into it knowing that these things are going to be happening. So you can't change the game that much.
Okay, Jeff, just moving on.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Obviously, you guys have lived the dream of pretty much everyone in this room in playing for this football club. What's your best memory?
My best memory is obviously the playoff final. And we're still up till this day because of it. So I'm really happy about being a part of that. And that journey was unbelievable. And it solidified my endearment to the West Ham fans as well. That period in time for me, I knew what I sacrificed to get and to stay at the club. And I knew that it was a massive gamble, but I knew it would pay off in the end. And those are those light bulb moments when you think, do you know what? Yeah, you need to really be here because you can create something special. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be here today talking to you guys. Thank you very much.
I think mine, it's a bit of a random one because we almost got relegated, but I think my fondest time is the last 10 games of the 2007 season when we stayed up. Great escape.
Oh, yeah, the great escape.
Yeah, it sounds mad because we almost got relegated and we were fucking horrendous for the first start of the year. And probably like how we weren't relegated is unbelievable. But I think that sort of time, like I said, those last 9-10 games is my best memories.
Well, that solidified our bond as well as players and the teammates and everything.
I think we were on like 20 points in March. Like this sort of time of year was on 20 points. Like it's fucking madness to think what we went on. And I think that's when I played my best football as well. Do you know when it really counted and the chips were down? We were going away, kept a clean sheet at the Emirates. Carlos gets all the fucking thing for that season, by the way. We kept fucking...
Bobby Zamora is unbelievable. Yourself.
Bobby scored 4. Me and
Robert Green was unreal.
I think we kept like 5 clean sheets or something in 9 games to keep the club up. And I go back to like the question over there, people behind the scenes, that would have been if we had gone down that year, it would have been a fucking disaster. There were people getting sacked, players going, people at the training ground would have been out of pocket, lost their jobs. So I think it was probably my best football, great time. And, you know, if the club had gone down then. So I think that whole period is probably my favourite time.
Lucas Neal was very instrumental as well. Yeah. Lucas Neal was one of those captains at the time that led that dressing room. Yeah. And in the right way as well. And there were some unsavoury things that we had to do to have a team bonding. I can't go into that. That stays between the team. But...
Everyone's thinking, what were they fucking
doing? Yeah. But you know, sometimes you have to dig deep to create that bond, to have that togetherness and create that energy to stay up and stay afloat, because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that can drag you down. And I just remember certain things. I didn't play that much that year, but that year it opened my eyes to being West Ham and the people that enjoying the spoils of today. That was a big point in our turn. There was a big turning point in how West Ham and how I see West Ham as a group and as players and what is expected and the standard. Mark Noble got a lot out of that as well, and that's why he was able to be the captain he was 10 years later. You know, so it's been brilliant for us all.
Yes, this gentleman here.
This one's for Carlton. You mentioned Twitter earlier. Is there any
Don't tell me it was you I counted off.
Hello.
Is there any truth behind the you getting in trouble with the fake Carlton on Twitter as well?
Oh, yeah, mate. Oh.
Was it a fake Carlton?
Oh, mate, there was a fake Carlton going about. That's when I knew I'd made it. Who wants to be Carlton? Who wants to be a fake Carlton? Who does that?
Hold on, I'll come to you next.
To be honest, right, this geezer, I don't know what his name is, but we call him as Colt, I think he was Colton Cole 9 or something like that. And I've got a story about that, actually. You got David Gold. So David Gold, he started following this guy, yeah? Because he thought it was me. So this geezer is very hypercritical about the team, what's going on at the club, whatever. And this one time, he said something about David Gold, calling him a nonce. Now, David Gold, not being too sharp on social media, thought it was me, drove in, yeah, with his driver in his Rolls Royce, whatever, parks up. No one was expecting him to be in that day, because usually we get a little hint that one of the owners are coming in, so be on your best behaviour. No one knew, yeah? He's rolled in, and he's gone into the canteen, and he says, when Carlton Cole gets off the training ground, off the training pitch, tell him to come and see me in the manager's office. I'm like, oh, wow. So as I'm walking off, Trevor Lewin, yeah, the second club secretary, comes up to me, Coley, I'm on the pitch, by the way, coming off. Coley, you got to go straight in to the gaffer's office. David Gold's in there waiting for you. And so now that's just out of the box for me. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? What have I done that's so special? Yeah. So, yeah, I'm thinking new contract. So I've walked in. So yeah, David, how you doing, mate? Like, yeah, what's going on? He didn't look happy at all. He goes, and he had some other fella next to him. I think it's the one that controls his...
A lawyer, whatever.
I don't know what it was. But I've walked in, he's gone, Carlton, you've said some unsavoury things on Twitter. I'm on there and this doesn't look good for you. I was like, what do you mean? What have I said? So I'm thinking about other stuff I've said to other people, not to him, obviously, because I've had said some other stuff. So I'm thinking I'm getting in trouble for that. But he says, no, you can't be calling me, your boss, a nonce, live on Twitter. Now, I've gone, what? What are you talking about? I've never, ever tweeted you. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm not even sure I follow you, yeah? And then he was like, no. So that was, then I got him, I knew. I said, so you've come in here to sack me, basically, but you found out you couldn't because it weren't me. So anyway, he's gone, and then he showed me all the script. He had it printed, by the way. It was printed. Printed. So I said, this guy was on me today, like, definitely. So anyway, we've gone through that, and I said, it's not me, and he's gone, so he's apologised. He's ended up apologising to me. And yeah, so that's the type of guy he was. He's quite funny, actually. He took it on the chin, and yeah, we had a good relationship after that.
I never knew that story, by the way.
But yeah, that Colton Cole 9, he nearly got me into trouble, yeah, definitely. No, I don't know who he is. I've heard he's been banned. He's been banned now. He's not about.
Yes, we've got this little gentleman over here. Stand up, mate.
Thank you, Martin. Much appreciated.
You get on the table. I can't see where it's coming from. Oh, there you go. Joking.
Look, guys, great to meet you. Really great to meet you and everybody else here. I've got some seriously strong opinions, and I'd like you to, you know, come back and tell me what you think. So first and foremost, Chris Sutton and Jamie Carragher, who do they actually think they are? ex-footballers exactly, and never can actually play the game very well. We're going to have plenty much to say about West Ham. And I'm fed up of hearing about West Ham and our top six club. They don't deserve to be where they are. That, you know, we've got Bayer Leverkusen now. They should be thinking about what's going to happen when we absolutely destroy the fuck out of them, because they've got to realise that. But there's a lot of West Ham fans that think that's enough. Where we are is it's not. It's not. I'm 58. I've been there, worn the T-shirt, cried, laughed. And at the end of the day, as far as I'm concerned, yourselves, Mart as well, the people, the basis of this club, and the fans as well, deserve, as well as the players, to go further on and go up that tree. Qualify for the Champions League, beat Man City 5-1 on penalties, and that's it. It's done. Thank you.
Well, he's not asking for much, is he?
Have you had a couple of pints this morning? Is he pissed?
Well done. Next question.
That wasn't even a question.
That's not even a question.
He answered his own question.
Margaret's fucking factor on his fucking box.
If we spend £1 billion next year, you might have a chance.
Yeah, guys.
When
the chap asked the question about Carlos Tevez, you both said we thought it was going to be the nightclub story. So now I want to hear the nightclub story.
It's not my story. It's Coley's. I was pissed in the corner.
Going to do the nightclubs? We're doing the nightclub story. So, being the person I am, I did frequent the London night scene quite a bit too much.
I think we all did, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did. A lot of team bonding went on over there. But I knew a few people. Who was it at the time? It was Alan Kirbishley. Knew that I knew that scene, obviously. That's probably too... I knew the scene too much. That's why he wanted to get rid of me. And he basically said, listen, I need you to look after Tevez. I already knew Tevez's agent, Kia, at the time. And he says, listen, just take him out and just make sure that he's looked after. He loves the casino and he loves seeing pretty girls.
I've just got the
right place for this guy. Funny you should say that. I was going this weekend so I could take him along with me. But I'm not a casino person, so I said, I made a phone call to my mate. I said, listen, I've got Tevez coming out of me this week. He's going, Tevez? Oh, it's going to be unbelievable. I said, all right, so we're going to make sure that we go to a nightclub first. Go to a casino because he likes to... have a little dabble, then he wants to go casino to a nightclub. I said, all right, cool, no problem. So I go pick him up. I go to his, he was staying at the Four Seasons at the time, and just on Canary Wharf. I go pick him up, and I swear down, when I see this guy walking out the revolving doors, or whatever it is, he looked like a scene. You see Scarface? He had this white blazer on. Who wears a white blazer? Yeah, in London. White blazer, black shirt, collars over the blazer, the lapels. And then he had this big fat medallion chain like that, like 50 cent. Big fat. I was like, ooh, can't be going out with him like this, mate. It's a bit extravagant, this. This is bringing a lot of attention to us. Anyway, we go to the casino. He wins in there, wins big. Then we leave there, we go to the nightclub. Now, in the nightclub, my mates brought loads of girls to the table. And Tevez got lost. He got lost in because it was on the table and then he got lost. And I was thinking, I'd had a few drinks by then, obviously, and I'm supposed to be looking after him. But he got lost. I couldn't find him around the whole place. So I thought, oh, what's going on here? Like, what am I going to tell his agent? What am I going to tell the club? This guy don't speak a word of English. Like, where's he gone? He can't have gone that far. He needs me. Anyway, I don't know where he'd gone, but he'd got off, yeah? So in the morning, I hadn't phoned his agent. I hadn't phoned the club, whatever. I didn't say I'd lost him. On the way to training, I phoned his agent. I said, listen, is Tevez all right? Is he about? He goes, yeah, he said that you gave him a brilliant night out. Excellent.
Didn't have a clue.
Yeah. And then I didn't have a clue what was going on. And he goes, listen, but next time, please keep him away from the women. Because he ended up at some bird's ass. Oh, yeah. And we had to cover a story. Like, so basically, he got into a bit of trouble with a woman. And anyway, that was my influence on that. So that was the nightclub story. It could go deeper. I could go deeper, but we're not going to go that far because it's not for TV.
It's not for TV.
Everybody in the room, please be upstanding. Everybody in the room, please get up, be upstanding. That means stand up, love. I like honesty. I like people that tell it how it is. What a fantastic hour and 20 minutes that's been listening to all that. And I want you to join me to give these two a fantastic round of applause. Fucking awesome. Well done, guys. You should be able to tell from the characters that they are that I've pressed and pushed a couple of times and probed about their character, their desire, their upbringing, their honesty on the football pitch that you've witnessed and paid to see over the years. What they're actually like as people is probably similar to what they're like on the pitch. And I like those types of people. So I'm very lucky and grateful to be up and sharing them and getting to meet them. So I just can't thank them both enough. Okay, let's sit down.
And can we also have a round of applause for your host, Mr. Mad Dog Martin Allen as well?
Listen, I've got to say, Martin Allen, what a man you are as well, because it's one of those, there's when you get asked to do these sort of shows, you got to trust the person that's hosting and is not going to expose you too much. But he does expose us a lot, and but I don't mind doing it with him because he's one of those guys that just always tells it how it is, and he has a bit of banter and he makes us feel comfortable as players. So well done to him, and he's a legend to me, and what a great footballing family he's come from as well. He knows his football.
Okay, well done, Carlton. Carlton has headed a lot of fucking footballs.
Thank you.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.